This episode is brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Learn more at slashandcast.net.
Yo, you cut me too deep. I think I'm dying here, man.
Welcome to the 3B Video Deep Cut Podcast.
Watch a few movies, take a few notes.
It was fun.
Aw, yeah. It's that time again for another bi-weekly podcast with your hosts, Rotten Roger DeMarco and...
Evil, and you know, Raj, every kid in Haddonfield thinks this place is haunted.
And they would be right. Kind of. Sort of.
Death has come to our little town.
Mm-hmm. I've been trick-or-treated to death tonight. Wait, that's in 2 weeks.
But we've not chosen to ignore it. We've chosen to accept it. And we're starting, this is either matching or a notch up on our longest franchise that we're going to cover
ever,
beginning to end.
I think it is the longest, because by the time we wrap with this, Halloween Ends will have come out and we will cover Halloween Ends. So this is a long, arduous trek, and as far as I'm concerned, it's long overdue. You know, we are fans of this franchise, but again, we've covered it on our YouTube channel, 3B Video, and we talk about it all the time anyway, so...
Who the fuck hasn't started and covered with the Halloween franchise? So it's like, you know what? We'll give it to you when we're ready.
Yeah.
Well, let's be like everybody else and just, let's just only cover the Halloween franchise. You heard it here first, folks. This podcast is now changing to just Michael Myers related, you know? We can wear masks while we do the podcast and all that shit.
We're going to give you an audio update on what the mask is going to look like for the new Halloween film when we have no idea what the Halloween mask is going to look like for the new Halloween film, because we don't have any inside info or footage or anything. It's entirely speculative, but we're going to keep doing it.
Let me tell you, the Halloween franchise, I'm just going to go ahead and get this out of here. It is the cancer of the horror community. It absolutely is. The fans are so angry. You know, they live and die by the Michael Myers butcher knife. And my God, are there 4 billion horror YouTubers who will tell you every time Jamie Lee Curtis uses a porta potty on set? Like, it's ungodly. And before we jump into this movie, I did want to say, like, when we started the YouTube thing, it was a very conscious decision, because we started the Buddies Forever VCast, which is like this podcast. And originally how it started was we would talk once a week and we would talk about current things like new Scream Factory releases or new trailers that had dropped. And it was almost news-centric in our own little way. And very quickly we learned that we are not a news channel. Like, if you want to know what the new Myers mask looks like or who got cast, there are a billion other Goombas you can go watch and listen to. We just want to talk about the fun stuff. So we're not a news site. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was just differentiating from doing what's everybody else doing? All right, what's a tweak we can do that's not quite the same? But now we're just going to fold and be like everybody else, and we're just going to cover the Halloween franchise. I can't lie, it is kind of exciting to be doing a franchise with an upcoming release in that franchise coming out. This will be the first one we've covered where we're actually leading up to a movie, and that's something different. And yeah, this will be a very, very long, another half-year journey until we get, you know, to Amityville or... Nope, Amityville wins. Amityville will be like...
I'm going to veto it. I'm going to go ahead and Don veto the Amityville franchise. Veal Scalopini. Good
I think
Lord.
That would be a hell of a... That would be at least like a year and a half.
There's no way we could cover all the Amityville films. Because
they keep making them. That's why. Like, during the course of the year we would be covering the franchise, we would have an additional 14 films to cover.
Yeah, it never stops, because the name Amityville is now public domain, so every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there with a cell phone is making an Amityville movie.
My God! I'm gorgeous!
But I digress. We are discussing the immortal classic, John Carpenter's
Halloween. And I don't know that I've ever had this conversation with you in all of our talks of this franchise, but can you remember the first time you saw this film?
Oh, shit. Blindsided me with that.
Yeah, coming out of the first thing in the morning with the, you know, no caffeine in the bloodstream yet. Do you remember the first time you saw the movie?
Yeah, you know, I really think I probably, same way with most of the franchises, I think I started mid-series and went backwards. So I'm pretty sure being at the height of things in 88, I started with part four. Mm-hmm. And then I know at some point in, I think it was around the time of, probably a little bit before Curse came out, is when I remember my sibling and I going and renting the as much of the series as we could and watching them in her room, which involved the first movie, second movie, and a third one, which all ones we'll get to. I remember a little glimpse ahead. I remember watching Halloween 3 for the first time and just waiting, like, don't worry, Michael's showing up at some point here. I'm like fucking Randall and Clerks too, like, the girl's coming, don't worry. Where the fuck's the chick?
I just had the realization that we've already covered Halloween 2 with Sean Clark, but we will be double dipping to recover Halloween 2 because we have a new format. So it'll be Halloween 2, the Redux.
We covered Halloween 2, but we didn't. We more covered Halloween 2 and Halloween Kills at the same time. Kind of a wide spectrum. That was more just an interview with, maybe we should rebrand that, interview with Sean Clark where we talk some shit.
Yeah, absolutely, because we will get into the nitty-gritty of Halloween 2 in 2 weeks. But
Two.
Going back to my first viewing, and I'm exactly the same way you are. I know for a fact that when I was growing up, and there was a specific house we lived in, and we lived in until I was 11, that I had seen Halloween 6... because it came out in 95, and I was this just absolute mark for Halloween 6. I think it was my very first Halloween movie, where I rented it on pay-per-view at my uncle's because he had pay-per-view, and we recorded it off of pay-per-view. And then I kept that tape until I was able to buy a real tape when it was available for purchase. And so I loved Halloween 6. He felt very Jason-esque to me, you know, especially in that movie, big, thick George P. Wilbur chopping people up with an axe and whatnot. So that was my introduction to Michael Myers. And it wasn't until we moved out of that house, and I want to say it was Christmas when I was 11, and I got like a big stack of VHS horror. You know, my mom just bought me all this random stuff, and the first Halloween was one of those tapes. And I, you know, that famous video I think I've sent you a couple times of that kid on Christmas morning who gets Slumber Party Massacre and he gets all excited. Oh, I got Slumber Party Massacre. That was me when I got Halloween. I'm like, oh, you know, and it was almost like
it's actual footage of you.
Yeah, like 5 o'clock in the morning. No one's quite awake and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs that I got this. And I feel like there was a pause in Christmas morning, like a pause in unwrapping presents, so I could watch it. Like, I was that hyped that I got it. And Michael Myers has been in second place for me as far as the boogeyman goes. You know, I'm a Jason guy, but I do have an affinity for Michael Myers. And, yeah, I love this movie.
I like that. At least for me, that would be a complete, like, 180 shift. Like, as a kid, like, give me a stack of movies, unknown movies, for a holiday gift, and, like, this is the most amazing thing. You give me if a family member or anybody probably but you hands me a stack of movies today, I'm like, oh, my God.
Homework, yeah.
I don't... it's the most horrifying thing you could hand me. There's a bunch of unknown cinema. It's like, I'm either owning all this already or I'm going to hate probably most of this because I've purposely not bought it.
Yep. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, especially in our old man age, I mean, I've noticed it with you a lot where you're
I'm very much there.
it's very difficult to peel that Band-Aid to watch new cinema. So we're kind of stuck in our rut of this is old, this is familiar, this is comfortable. I would like to watch this, as opposed to, it's very difficult when you have kids in the house and, you know, people coming in and out and whatnot. So it's hard to be like, I'm carving out a 2-hour time block where the kids aren't around, you know, no one's coming over and bothering me or whatever, and I can focus on this movie. And if it turns out you don't enjoy it, man, that's a tough, like, pill to swallow. Like, I just carved out 2 hours of my life and I did not have a good time. So
this was a poor investment.
Yeah.
But Halloween is not a poor investment. In 1978 or 1998, 2008, 2018, and 2088, it'll still be a good idea. It will still work. It's very rooted in 1978, but it's if you just take wardrobe and technology out of the equation. Technology, I in the sense of nobody's talking on landline phones and nobody's melting butter on a stove anymore.
Absolutely, yeah. They got microwaves for that. But, yeah, it's a very, like, I don't know. I don't want to say grounded in reality story, but it's a very, like, familiar story, right? And it was originally titled The Babysitter Murders. And somehow,
that's an R.L. Stein title.
Yeah, and then somehow they got to wanting to call it Halloween. And, you know, if it had been titled The Babysitter Murders, I think it would have been a movie that just came and went. You know, it's not a very grabby title.
It worked.
The title
today.
Halloween.
Today they would use it for the first one. They would acronym it for the rest of them. It's BCM3.
Bum, bum.
Back to Clementine Valley.
And, you know, it's just all the stars just aligned for this movie. Not a giant budget, not a lot of days to shoot, and, you know, not even like they had not enough money that they could make their own mask. So they literally bought a mask and modified a mask from a store. And
what? Whose mask could that have been? Are you?
Oh my God! Let's not do this. Go ahead, Evil.
That was a Spock mask, wasn't it? Pretty sure it was a Star Trek Spock mask.
I'm gonna kill you. Yeah, let's just spread that misinformation. Everybody knows the story, except for, you know, when they're a young kid coming up and they're discovering the Halloween franchise, all of these things are delicious little tidbits that they get to.
No. They used to be juicy little tidbits. No kid even today knows who the fuck Captain Kirk is. So you're like, that's a Captain Kirk mask. Who's Captain Kirk? He's from Star Trek. What's Star Trek? Oh, that action movie? Oh.
No. Locked. So
it's easier just to say, yeah, that's just a... Just make shit up. That's the thing I did just fine with this, is just delve into the mindset of 2022 and just misinformation the fuck out of the Halloween series just to annoy people.
Yeah, we totally could.
I'm all for doing that. I'm fuck this. What a better way to troll the gatekeepers, an angry mob of Halloween fans, than to just destroy it.
We just start making a bunch of shit up.
So they take this Spock mask, they paint it white, cut big eye holes, and patch on an Ernest Borgnine wig on top of it, and boom, we have the Halloween mask.
There it is.
Pretty sure that's accurate.
That is 100% film accurate. But man, I've always had a really, I've always appreciated this movie, and it's one of those movies that the more times you watch it, even still now, every time I watch it to this day, there's something that I kind of pick up on that I hadn't before. And similar to, you know, we talked a few weeks back when we were watching Friday the 13th Part 7, and it was like, man, I was in my 20s. When I finally realized that Jason's in the corner in that kitchen when the lightning flashes. And I'd seen that movie 100 times. And it's kind of the same thing with this. Like, this movie is kind of the gift that keeps on giving. whether it be Michael Myers very, like, nonchalantly being in the background, the station wagon cruising by when Loomis is, you know, on the look for Michael.
That dude couldn't find shit. He couldn't find water if he fell out of a boat.
Which is why so many people died that night.
Yeah. Because
Loomis is a little inept.
I got to get that out of the way immediately. I love Dr. Loomis. I love Donald Pleasance. I could hear the man speak all day long. But I've got a 3B video lens, this guy. This is the worst goddamn doctor I've ever, maybe have ever seen. It is not normal. Like put it in in reality context. Could you imagine a doctor, Hippocratic Oath, and he's calling one of his patients pure evil? He's not a man. Drug him till he can't stand up. And then his entire plan is very Ghostbusters-like, when I'm like, okay, he breaks out, what are we going to do? Well, he's probably going to go home, so I'm going to wait for him there.
And shoot the shit out of him.
All night, yes. Yes, your doctor who calls you evil and murders you with 6 gunshot blasts.
Yeah.
And in the next movie, he says, I shot him, he's not human.
This man is not human.
Who the fuck else is under Loomis's care? Like, is he a practicing doctor? Is he in private practice? Like, what is the regular 9-to-5 for Loomis? Is he just obsess over this case, and is he getting paid to just obsess over Michael Myers as much as he's obsessing over murdering the entire time?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you got to wonder what he did for those 15 years, you know, because Michael was catatonic. So what were you doing?
Yeah, the only time we ever see him doing anything other than obsessing over what the fuck had happened with Michael Myers is in Curse, where he's just, I'm assuming, typing his memoirs on Michael Myers.
Yeah. And listening to shock.
Listening to shock jocks. Yes, that's what Loomis does in his time. Listen to Stern-like radio.
Yeah. Just giggling his old balls off. But, you know, yeah, you're right. He zips to town and is on the hunt and completely misses Michael numerous times.
He drives right fucking past him. Like, we're just missing Michael waving at him as he's driving by.
It's funny because in proximity, the Michael Myers house is very, very close to the house in which he is doing all of the murdering. The two houses, I should say. So, you know, they're directly across the street from each other and right down the block from the Myers house. So his reign of terror is really, like, just encompassed in this one city block, essentially, other than the fact that he breaks into the hardware store, steals the mask, a knife, and some rope. But yeah, so it's a very small reign of terror, even though he does kind of slink and saunter around the neighborhood and the town for a little while leading up to, you know, nightfall.
That's more stuff I'm more confused about too, like, the hardware store's alarm is going off.
Yes.
And the sheriff immediately knows all 3 items that were taken from the store. Like, that is an airtight...
He's a good cop, man.
That's not a good cop. That is airtight inventory keeping is what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just did a run through of the inventory. The entire store were missing rope, mask, and a knife.
Well, and here's the thing. Okay, so if you've ever been to a hardware store or anything, the rope and the chain that you buy, it's like on a big spool, and they just stretch out how much you need and cut it off. So who's the asshole who was like, that looks like about 6 foot of rope got cut off of this fucking roll? You know what I mean? Like,
if you're keeping that tight of inventory that you know precisely the 3 items you don't have in stock anymore the next day, yeah, I can imagine that's that same anal retentive human being that's like, there's 4.8 feet of rope that have been cut off this.
The only way it makes sense is if that store was specifically a mask, knife, and rope store. And they're like, yo, we're missing one.
Well, I mean, that's what I was saying earlier about going back to a different time. There was a weird time frame up until, I would say, the mid-90s, where hardware stores had weird shit in them, like a toy aisle.
They for sure did.
I remember going into all kinds of hardware stores with my dad and being like, looking for, I know there's a toy aisle, and I'm like, I'm gonna see if I can get anything out of a toy aisle. And there was always one in a hardware store.
Our hardware store not only had a toy aisle, but it had a movie rental section. A massive movie rental section.
They also have a tire center and a hair salon attached to the same building.
A tire center and a restaurant.
Oh,
so you'd be like, I'm going to get my new tires or get my tires rotated, rent a movie, grab a hot dog, like, you know, and sit down and eat a hot dog too. Not like it was on some fucking spinny thing. Like you went up to a counter and fucking ordered it and got to sit down.
Or like a gourmet hot dog served in half a tire.
That's the real Midwest, which this movie is attempting to portray. Yeah, when I was growing up, my hardware store was called Easter's. And then it got bought out by the corporate, it was a little mom and pop, you know, hardware store, and it got bought out by corporate and got turned into a True Value, which is, you know, like a chain. And
we got True Values.
Not a great store. Stop, you know, got rid of all the movies, got rid of like the magazines.
Now it's just a run of the mill hardware store.
And it's kind of like a Radio Shack too. It had like a weird corner, like with electronic stuff, like, oh, you need your RCAs, HDMIs, whatever, like, come on over here, grab some of that. Like,
all that was stolen was some Ginsu knives, some AA batteries, and an AM/FM radio transmitter.
And a Spock mask.
Yeah,
you know, someone in the comments is going to be like, it's Kirk, it's fucking Kirk.
No, sir, there was no Captain Kurt. I'll even go that. There's no Captain Kurt in this Star Trek universe, sir. Nor is there a Captain Kurt in the Halloween movies mask.
So we got to talk about the fact that John Carpenter was smart enough to cast then unknown daughter of Janet Leigh, Jamie Lee Curtis, and ultimately changed her entire life and put her into the Scream Queen
stratosphere.
Yeah, and she just became typecasted for a very long time until she decided to break out of that. But, you know, now she's back, which is kind of funny because I kind of remember the scuttlebutt around the time Halloween H2O came out and then Resurrection, and it was basically like, yeah, I did this for a paycheck. I don't really give a shit. You know, it was, she kind of had that mentality.
That's middle-aged mindset, and I'm being like, yeah. That's angry phase of being like, yeah, I did that shit, but I just needed the money. Now I'm doing real films. And then once you get into old age, you enter that sweet phase where you're like, oh, I love everything I did. You know what? Let's go back and let's reclaim the youth. It's trying to recapture what I had when I was 20 again. Like, I'm not.
Any callback will do.
Yeah. Yes.
I need to stay relevant. And, you know, don't take that as a slight because I love Jamie Lee Curtis.
No, everybody does that. Shit, Dolph Lundgren's the same way. He was fucking all against Masters of the Universe. He's like, oh, fuck that shit. But as soon as he became an older man, he's like, you know what? I love He-Man. I am still He-Man. You know what? Cast me in He-Man again now.
8x10s are $55 and a selfie is $75. Thank you.
Cameo is $2.99 and I will not say I break you. That's $700. And I eat my lunch alone.
The wonderful Nick Castle stepping in to play The Shape, a.k.a. Michael Myers. Actually, a lot of people donned the mask or the clown costume or whatever, what have you, including Deborah Hill. You know, lots of shimping going on to make it happen. And
wasn't that the original mask idea? Was it supposed to be a clown?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the whole mask was supposed to look like a clown, and they got to where how it looked, and they're like, that's good enough.
Yeah. We better change something up. We better switch it up. So,
would the franchise have? Do you think the franchise would have stayed the course or altered slightly if the mask was a clown mask? Would it have made it?
It wouldn't have made it. No.
You don't think so? You think it's like the, you think it's the fucking thermal exhaust port on the fucking Death Star? Like, If it's not exactly the shape mask, if it's the clown mask, this evil does die tonight.
Absolutely. It would not have... So here's the thing, which a lot of people theorize about. You know, in every horror documentary, you see it, you hear it. People talking about how that mask, there's just something about that mask that resonates with people. How if you light it a certain way, it can look more menacing, or it can look like it's almost smiling or whatever. Like, and the expression of it never changes, but it's just, it's so like blank and lifeless and weird. And just that mask wouldn't have done it, because there, like John Carpenter likes to tell a story about when he finally got the film edited all the way and showed it to the
executive from 20th Century.
Everyone thought it was boring and that it wasn't scary because it didn't have the score. So then he, you know, took it home and banged out the score, and then people were like, Jesus, this is terrifying, you know? And so it's a combination of a bunch of things. I think without Dean Cundey as your director of photography, without your shape mask, and without that score, it's just every other piece of shit slasher that came and went. You know, I mean, seriously, watch it on mute sometime and just be like, yeah, that's, you know, it's almost like a made-for-TV movie when it doesn't have that score.
That's definitely the wife turning around and leaving type of situation. He comes in, what are you doing in here? I'm watching Halloween on mute to see if it has the same effect as Halloween with full volume. I'm going to leave. But I do think...
All right, I'm going to head out.
Yeah, like, all right, I'm going to go do anything else. I do feel that those are the two key elements that make it what it, to give it the iconic status, is score and suspense.
Yes.
Two things that are very missing in future Halloween films. And you know who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, and so here's the other thing about that, right, is when they made this movie, very similar to Psycho and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like a lot of people remember this movie for being more gratuitous or more gory, you know? Even as a kid, I remembered, like, misremembered seeing a lot more of PJ Souls, you know what I mean? Like, in my brain, I'm like, man, that's a really gratuitous sex scene. Then you go back, and it's like, wow, they just are, like, rolling on each other, like, you know, it's not as gratuitous as you thought it was.
Slightly modify the audio during the scene, and you're like, okay, it's perfectly fine to play on.
That they're just kissing.
AMTV, yeah. Just replace it with mwah, mwah, mwah.
Oh, I love you. Yeah.
What?
I said I love you. I gotta go. Oh, but
you look so pretty. What? You look shitty. Bye, Denise.
So that is super important when you look at this movie, where it doesn't have the gore, and it is very suspense-driven. You know, Carpenter knew what he was working with, the amount of money he had, what he was able to do, and he wasn't into making a gratuitous film. If you look at his previous film, I always butcher the title, I want to say, like, Someone's Watching Me. It was like a made-for-TV, really, very Hitchcock. It's so Hitchcock. And, you know, this movie is the same, with that level of, like, there's a bomb under the table type of suspense. And after this movie came, then obviously we had slasher after slasher after slasher.
Holiday themed, too.
Yeah, and the you know, because so, they took what Carpenter nailed with the holiday theme, but then they cranked it up with that Tom Savini-esque gore when Tom Savini changed the game with Friday the 13th. So by the time Halloween 2 came out, it was, well, we need more gore. We need more gore. We need more violence. And the franchise starts to kind of go a different direction, similar to Elm Street and stuff. You know, we've had that conversation before, like... later entries try to give the people what they want, which kind of takes away from the original essence of the film.
Well, I think it's of the time. It's like in today, it's if it's not a sequel or a remake, it's not going to get money backing. So yeah. Post Halloween, it's like, well, if it's not a slasher and a holiday involved in it, it's not going to get granted for a budget. And this was a $300,000 budget film. So mm-hmm. I feel also like if you're, he knew probably ahead of time, like, well, if I have a lot of shit in there that is going to piss off the MPAA, that's going to be reshoots that I can't afford to have. So if I don't have things that require me to reshoot, if it's too much gore, too much nudity or whatever pisses people off in that group, then I don't have to worry about, you know, having to try to film reshoots and the movie being a fucking jumbled mess. If I rely on suspense, and the thing Carpenter does probably better than anything, score his movies.
Yeah.
It's all you really need.
So, and speaking of that reshoot stuff, even as tame as this film is, when it got time for it to be aired on network television, network television had a problem with a lot of stuff, right? So, you know, you can't do this, you can't have the sex, you can't have this sequence, blah, blah, blah. So they demanded, you know, extra sequences be put in there. So Carpenter later on,
wasn't it also just a hair short for like a like a TV runtime movie night?
Yeah,
so they needed some extra minutes.
Yeah, and that was especially after the trimming of the sex scene and stuff. So Carpenter went back, and I think I want to say it was like a year or two later. You know, had wrote some new sequences. And got Jamie Lee back, and got Nancy Loomis back, and PJ Souls back, and got Donald Pleasance back, and added these extra sequences. And as a result, Anchor Bay put out a DVD of the TV cut. And I don't know if you've ever seen that cut with those extra dialogue sequences.
I've seen the scenes, but I've not seen them actually in the context of the movie. I've seen them isolated, like, yeah, Loomis visiting young Michael in the sanitarium. And the
pleading with the board and stuff.
Yeah, and the other new trivia bit of like, did you know there's a scene in Halloween featuring the house from A Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yes, we did. Because we've watched it.
We know Sean Clark. We know all this stuff. Sean Clark told us all this. We're tight.
There's another sequence where there's another Michael Myers phone call. And then you have PJ Souls coming over to Jamie Lee Curtis's house. And at the time, she had like cut her hair because she was doing another role. So in order to make it look like she looked in 1978, they had her come out of the shower. So she's in like a bathrobe and she's got a towel on her head so you can't see her hair. And, you know, it's this whole little tiny sequence of a little bit more dialogue, but creating a little bit more suspense and stuff like that. That
Linda's being followed, and she's like, "Look out there! I see him."
Yeah, and so, you know, Carpenter even took that care when it came to those additional sequences to not just make them filler, you know, to make them integral to the story. So if you watch that TV cut, which I have on DVD, and I'll gladly let you borrow, it's very good. It's a very good cut of the film, and it plays right, and I really enjoy it.
So speaking of things you enjoy, do you have, I know it's a shorter list, but do you have a brown panty winner for this first Halloween film? My body count is low, but if you have someone, you're like, oh, man.
Well, you know, first instinct is Annie.
That's who I did give it to.
She's a sweet girl, but at the same time, she, you know, she shirks her responsibilities so she can go shack up with her boyfriend and dumps those, you know, like, don't agree. This is the adult in me where I'm like, don't agree to fucking babysit and take care of children if you're gonna fucking go run off and canoodle with your man, you know, like all you have to do is say, nah, I'm busy, and then that parent calls someone else. So as a 17-year-old kid, you know, she's sweet up to a point, but I would ground her ass.
I mean, she's also the one that spills butter and takes her pants off in the kitchen and gets stuck in a fucking window. So there's several decisions she makes where it's not the best, but I totally like Annie, and that's who I would give. I give it to her. I can't give it to Linda, even though PJ Souls
totally
is totally fantastic and awesome, cool person, great character, but she doesn't get it because her and her boyfriend are at somebody else's house fucking in some other parent's bedroom. Which yeah, I know we've had talked that about. Yeah, like, could you imagine if some friends of your children have come into your house while you're gone and are tagging each other in your bed?
That's when I put the Captain Spock mask on.
I am,
that's right, Captain Spock.
I am throwing that fucking whole bed set out the goddamn window.
Yeah, she gets what she fucking deserves.
And they even, like, she even answers the fucking phone. They are not supposed, she is not supposed to be there, and she answers the phone when the phone rings. Who the fuck is this? Who the fuck is this?
Yeah, exactly, you know. But as a result, it's probably one of, at least in my top 10, most suspenseful sequences that I've ever seen. And I mean, they even go back to it in Scream when Jamie Lee Curtis decides to walk across the street to check on her friends. And it's not necessarily a one-er, but the way that it's shot is so intense because you know directly across the street those two are dead. And it's just this very long, slow walk across the street. It's dark, the wind's blowing, leaves are rustling.
It's the right amount of dark, and it's that suspense level where you're like, you believe there's a chance Michael could be in that darkness at any point surrounding her.
Yeah. And she just gets closer and closer and closer to the house. So the whole time that's happening, you're going, just turn around. Just go back.
There's the birth. That's probably the birth of it right there. There's the birth of people in the theater going, don't go in that house, girl. That's the death house.
She reaches the house and it's unlocked. So she goes in, which then it's tenfold, you know. The whole time she's walking across the street, you're nervous. But the second she opens that door and goes in the house, it's like, get out. Get out now. Get out now. And every single time I watch it, I still have those feelings like I did when I was a kid. Like, man, that is put together so well. And that's why it will stand the test of time. Because 50 years from now, when a kid discovers this, hopefully, if they can look up from their VR or their fucking phone or whatever it is in 50 years.
They're watching it in VR, man. They're going to be watching it from Jamie Lee's POV.
Whoa. Yeah, that'd be even scarier. So maybe do that. Yeah, I don't know.
That's what the future is going to be. We will all get to be Jamie Lee Curtis in that scene.
I won't need Activia to shit myself if I'm in VR in that sequence.
What's Activia?
Oh my, yeah. That, another timely reference that probably won't last.
Man, I really wish Jamie Lee was embracing her Halloween roots when she was in full-blown Activia phase. We could have got a crossover commercial.
That would have been glorious.
Back in the day, all I needed was this Captain Spock mask to make me shit myself. Now, I use this yogurt.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Nah, you gotta include it in like the jingle, like do 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 Activia.
Perfect. There it is. See, we could have made Activia $1 trillion with our marketing ability.
And then as you're going through like at the end, if they go through like all the like side effects and shit, you just
showing different bathrooms in the house.
Yes. Rolls of toilet paper.
Yeah, that's what it ends on, is that roll of toilet paper or like a candle burning next to the toilet.
Yeah, the candle just blows out.
There it is. See? We got you, Activia.
And it's,
hire us.
And it's a pumpkin spice candle.
Perfection. Absolute perfection. Oh man, I don't even know how we got here, but you know, I'm gonna embrace it.
We go all kinds of places when you're on the Deep Cut Podcast.
Absolutely.
So we get towards the ending of the film where he is shot and falls out of a window.
Mm-hmm.
We have Loomis rolling up, and we get all his fucking cool lines like, yes, it was the boogeyman. Pretty sure that was him. And looks out the window, and he's gone.
Mm-hmm. That whole last, like, 20 minutes of that movie is, it's just perfection. You know, even when Jamie Lee Curtis runs back to her, the house that she's staying at, and the door's locked, and she has to throw that potted plant at the window to get that fucking, get young Tommy Doyle to come unlock the door with no sense of urgency whatsoever, and you and I both having kids can absolutely relate. Like, there could have been a fucking cougar out there trying to fucking chew her up.
Yeah, I don't know what it is when it comes to we need a sense of urgency. Children don't have it. They have it on their time only when it's something mm-hmm. that's just for them. But yeah, I was like, we gotta go. Come on, we gotta go. Get out of bed!
Kids are horrible about stuff like that. And
yeah, that's, Tommy, that's the most unrealistic scene in the movie right there. Getting shot 6 times and walking away, totally believable in my eyes compared to you telling me that child woke up out of a dead sleep and got all the way downstairs and it opened a door before Jamie Lee Curtis got shish kebabbed? Nah.
Yeah, because, boy, is he just taking his fucking sweet time, though.
By the time he gets down, if it was reality, by the time he gets down and opens that fucking door, she should be just impaled with multiple knives on the back of that door, like Friday the 13th. Just, like, 4 in her chest, 1 in her eye, and he's, and just shuts the door and goes back upstairs to sleep.
So, sidebar, I saw this video on YouTube. It's the Michael Myers Challenge, and you should totally have your wife do this with you and including your kids. So what you do is start at the end of your driveway towards your road. You have the keys to unlock your back door. And you say, go. You run. Someone is Michael Myers. They just walk behind you. You have to run to that door, get that door unlocked, and get that door shut before they can tag you on the shoulder. And all they can do is walk. Everybody fails. Every single video that I've watched, no one can get in that house. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty spot on, because a lot of people are like, well, how does he catch you if he walks? And so someone on YouTube put it to the test, and well, it's pretty fucking simple, because if you're running full speed and trying to unlock a door, you fumble a little bit. So
that would have to be me trying to be Jamie Lee Curtis, because there's no way I'm going to convince the wife to run, particularly in the heat outdoors at the moment. Like, you want me to run outdoors for fun?
Yes.
Just shuts the door and goes back out on the couch.
Turns the air condition down a notch.
Like, I liked it better when you're just watching this movie with no audio. Now you want to play parlor games. That's the second step on, like, a 5-step process that leads me going to, like, Halloween rehab centers.
Right.
Like, he needs help. He started watching the movie with no audio and saying the audio to himself. And now he's wanting to play games where he's like, now you be Michael Myers. I'm gonna get you.
Uh-huh.
Put this Star Wars mask on and chase me.
That's some Holliston shit. Star Wars, man. Oh, good God.
We're going to do that. That'll be what we'll do. We'll get a Chewbacca mask and we'll spray paint that shit white and chase me with that. I'm going to get...
That's a screen accurate Chewbacca mask.
Then I'll make sure to find... I'll get me a Paul Rudd Ant-Man mask and I'll be Tommy Doyle.
Just slowly unlocking the door.
But we'll make sure the Chewbacca mask has some kind of, like, UPN logo on his wrist to mock up the thorn imagery. So let's just see how many fronts can I piss somebody off.
Get it all wrong.
The mask is wrong. Where he got the mask from is wrong. The logo is wrong. The Paul Rudd is wrong.
You got to wear bib overalls, too.
And instead of playing... the Michael Myers theme, we're playing the fucking theme from the Breakfast Club to signify Anthony Michael Hall. That's the other Tommy Doyle.
Not my Tommy Doyle. Hashtag not my Tommy Doyle. But we will get to that.
That's a long ways away.
It really is. And, I mean, you know, we got sidetracked. We rambled. We ranted. But all in all, Evil and I are massive fans of this film. We love this franchise. And we're kind of alone in that. I know we've talked about that a couple times on this podcast where your wife and my wife both are not, massive fans of this franchise in particular.
Nah, she likes, wife likes 3 a little bit, and she likes 2018's Halloween, which I keep meaning to ask her, because her biggest complaint for when we get to Halloween Kills for her is she doesn't like Halloween Kills because she knows it's the middle of a trilogy. So she has that mm-hmm. It feels pointless kind of vibe to it. And I keep meaning to ask her, like, if we took that element out of it, if you didn't know they were doing a third movie, would you then like this movie? If you had no idea they had planned it to be a trilogy at this point. And I think it might change your opinion.
What if I just take Halloween 2018, Halloween Kills, and Halloween Ends when they're all available on Blu-ray and cut them together as one giant movie? There you go. You have nothing to complain about because it's one movie and it's just...
Yeah, you want to watch the Lord of the Rings Halloween edition?
Yes. Yes, I do.
No trees are walking in this series, let me tell you.
Nope, absolutely not.
But speaking of things walking and being angry, just as good a time as any to talk about some angry folks who got up and walked over to their... mobile devices, computers, whatever it was that connected them to the interwebs, and just had to tell us how much they hated something from 1978 so much they had to spew their vitriol on Amazon with the 1-star reviews.
Hated it.
I had to weed through a bunch of more and more I'm finding people that are 1-starring movies just because they're getting shitty editions or discs are scratched.
Loose.
I don't like the transfer.
Scratched.
1-star.
I feel like that should be its own subcategory of 1-stars. It's like, are you rating the movie or are you rating the condition of the film that was sent to you? Which, I can't remember if it was this one. One of the Halloweens I was looking at, someone... And it's a visual gag, so it didn't work for the podcast. But somebody ordered a Halloween movie, and instead of the movie, they got sent 3 packs of incense.
Nice.
Like, I got scammed.
That's excellent.
That would have been my number one 1-star, but I was like, well, I can't show that because you can't see it.
Still very fucking funny, though.
Oh, that's great. I'm like, and he sent, the pictures, 3 incense, containers. In a row, so it looks like it's in the shape of a movie. But for the real folks, we have, and this is what better way to start off, from Leah E. on October 31st, 2018.
Bum, 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 bum.
40 years in the future. Leah says, 1-star, skip it. 2, slow pace, not scary, and bummed I purchased this one.
Wow. Obviously saw the Halloween 2018 and then was like, I should probably see what this is about, and then didn't like it.
That, oddly, that is not the first person I've heard say that it's slow. At least for the first 40 minutes. Slow, but that's...
What the hell are these people watching?
I think they're folks that want body counts, and they're wanting action. They're not wanting the suspense buildup, which is what is going on here. So when you get to that last 20, 30 minutes, it's doubly intense.
Mm-hmm.
They're wanting shit fucking happening now.
It's gotta be a young person. That's a young person complaint right there, man.
Just not fast enough for me.
Sorry about your luck.
Next, we got Rob Kickbush.
That's good.
Making fun of old Rob Kickbush's name here. Well, on December 18th, 2018, he says, 1-star, overrated, what a waste of money. How is this thing considered a classic horror film? 5 people found that helpful.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, fuck those five people. I just had to do that. That was fun.
And you want to kick him in the bush?
I would like to.
It's worth 2 in the bush.
That's a bird in the hand?
Yeah.
Something? I don't know what that means.
A butcher knife in the hand is worth a kick in the bush.
It's worth Loomis in the bush.
Get your ass away from there.
Yeah, instead of doing his fucking job, he's like, I'm just going to razz these children.
Ooh, razzing kids. Right? That's what he got. That's his whole fucking career.
Yeah, scaring children, hiding in the dark and scaring children. He's armed, too, by the way.
Absolutely.
Just take all that in consideration and put that in today's realm. Like, imagine a doctor being arrested, an armed doctor being arrested for on Halloween night, standing in front of an abandoned old murder house and scaring children. I think we're the wrong person in medical care here.
Yeah, no shit.
Maybe that something happened there. Michael drugged Dr. Loomis and swapped places with him, and Loomis is really Michael Myers. And Michael Myers is really Loomis, but he has a crushed trachea. Who knows?
Yeah, hey, wait. That might happen.
It could happen. Next up, we got Sean P. on December 5th, 2021. 1 star. Terrible movie. Not a good movie for the soul.
Wow. Yeah. It's not chicken noodle soup for the soul.
He went deep there. Like, this hurts my body, my mind, my soul.
My mind's telling me no.
But my son told me yes.
Oh, God. Bunch of random ass references, and I'm having a good time.
Well, next up the list is the return of the infamous Rondell Dale Branch on November 4th, 2021. He says 1 star, never seen it until Halloween. I'm assuming he needs a new one.
Yeah, the 2018, I guess.
I have never seen this movie. I decided to watch it this Halloween, and I must say, it is so dumb, I turned it off even before it ended. So dumb. I did put one in here, at least, of someone got fucking punked from, I guess, Rondell Dale Branch II.
Mm-hmm.
On August 7, 2018, 1 star, DVD missing from the box.
Oh, no.
This, I'm going to back away because this at least is in caps. This came with no DVD in the box.
You want me to take a dump in a box and mark it guaranteed? I got time. Holy shit. So he just got the case?
He just got a Halloween 1978 movie case. Went to open that up and be like, all right. Oh, I don't hear it rattling. That must mean it's in good shape. They actually sealed it in there. Holy shit.
Just put the soundtrack in there instead. Yeah, one of those Hallmark cards you open.
How come no one's done that shit? How come that... Fucking greeting cards with audio bits in them when you open them are a thing. How come we've not had Halloween themed gift cards with Halloween Carpenter Stinger music there?
I don't. Before you jump to your next 1 star review, that reminded me of a story. I can't remember if I've ever told you this. So my good buddy Anthony, aka Tony Tulips, who was in the first Tapehead and is going to be in this next Tapehead and did the artwork for us, you know, we grew up together and we were big, like, into ICP and into horror movies and yada yada, and a lot of parents thought we were, like, scary and bad kids. And so we're terrible, you know. So Anthony's mom, one weekend, she says, you know, I know you guys love these horror movies. I've never really been much of a horror movie person, but you know, I'm willing to sit down with you guys and watch some of these scary movies and just, you can tell me what you think is so appealing about these movies. It was a very, like, loving approach.
Let me try to understand you and your ways.
Yeah, yeah, wanting to be a part of us. Because she knew we weren't bad kids. She knew we weren't, like, running around drinking and doing drugs and stuff. We were, like, we'd rather watch wrestling, play video games, and watch horror movies, you know? And so she says, what's the franchise you love the most? And Anthony's a big Michael Myers guy. So he said, Halloween. She said, perfect. I'll watch all of them with you. How many are there? And at the time, there were seven, you know, and she goes, oh, my God, seven movies in a weekend. That's a lot of movies, you know.
Try to do that shit plus like three more in one night.
Right. So we pop a bunch of popcorn. We get all situated. We turn the lights down. We're watching the very first Halloween. And there's one spot in particular in the movie when it's when Annie gets killed and Michael pops up out of the back seat and the music does that one stinger. It goes, Fee-oh! I will never forget this as long as I live. It made Anthony's mom jump, and she's a real tiny little petite lady. She jumped. She was holding a beer and she goes, what the hell was that all about? Like, I will never, ever, like... We still she talk Chris about Farley it to this.
That?
Yeah, we still talk about it every time. We're like, remember that time that fucking Halloween stinger just fucking scared the shit out of your mom?
Just put that stinger in that moment right there on the podcast.
Every time she texts me, that's what it'll do. But yeah, so I think that's when that exact moment is when she got it, you know, because it made her jump. She laughed about it and she was safe. You know, most people don't understand really like that you chase that. We've been chasing that since we were kids because it scared us at some point. So we keep looking for what's going to do that. What's going to make your, you know, you get goosebumps and you get, you know, shook up.
No bullshit. I literally had this exact modified conversation this past week at work with a lady I work with because she was unboxing some stuff in one section. And I had some, like, rugs over my shoulder. And I was like, I'm going to put them on this pallet that's behind her. But I was like, I could put them on the pallet behind her, but I'm just going to fucking slam these things down on the pallet.
Yes.
And she's, holy shit. Turns around and like, why? Why'd you do that? You scared me.
Holy Jesus, jumping Christmas shit.
And I said, yes, you need that. I was like, she's like, I was just, you know, in the mindless zone, just working. I'm like, yeah, and I gave you a jolt, a safe jolt. I gave you a scare where nothing bad was going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I said, I just gave you a jolt of energy and excitement and something you'll remember for the rest of the day, and it was 100% safe. You were in no danger at all. You're welcome.
Yep. Yeah, see?
And then I walked away.
And she'll be talking about that. I guarantee you, like a year from now, 2 years from now, she'll tell that story.
4 hours later, she was leaving before I left. And she's like, don't do that again. Like, I'm pretty sure that's just going to cement I do it every day to you now.
Yeah. I'll take a week off and then fucking do it outside the bathroom when you're in the bathroom. Like,
now I'm just going to start like just like shouting when I'm behind her. Morning, how you doing?
You want a beer, sexy? Oh, my God. Yeah, see? And so I hated to hijack your one-star reviews. But
oh, no.
I felt like,
that's very appropriate and worth it. And you would not... We should do that as just a test for ourselves. We should put that stinger as our notification sound on our phone and then count, of the two of us, who can have it as their phone notification stinger longer before the wife vetoes it and insists we change it immediately.
I will tell you it won't last the day.
I know it won't last the day. It is a matter of hours.
As I was gonna say, especially since you know, we're doing the scheduling and the blocking for the new movie. My phone never stopped. I've got 60 messages right now in this hour we've been recording this podcast. So
that's one a minute.
Oh, dude, it just boop, doop, 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 lighten up, but it's on mute, so it's safe.
Hmm. Well, back to one stars. Kyle C. Craner, October 4th, 2018, he says, one star, not deserving of a classic status.
Boo.
Do not watch. Solo budget. Women are played as weak. Not worth 90 minutes of your time. Inbelievable storyline. Not unbelievable. Believable. Inbelievable storyline.
Damn right it is.
It's not, you know, so famous. It's infamous. It's an unbelievable storyline. Acting is horrible. Three people found that helpful.
Oh, God. Unbelievable.
This is unbelievable. All right, next up we have Cindy Hernandez on October 30th, 2019. One star, notify me when it purchase is being made. I never order this item. I'm assuming she means never notify me when a purchase is being made, but apparently somebody ordered Halloween and she got it.
Hey man, again, you get a movie in the mail, just be happy.
Don't worry, be happy.
Yeah, be happy. And I did not shoot the deputy.
And to round out the one stars, what better way to end it with Anthony here on December 6, 2018. He says, one star, boring. Friday the 13th, 1980 was better. Skip.
Oh, boy. Well,
oh, boy.
Yeah. I don't. Okay. In all seriousness, no bullshit.
No, don't bullshit me.
No bullshit. All right. I can no bullshit you. What you want to know?
You're trapped in a room with a TV and a DVD player, and the only two movies are Halloween and the original Friday the 13th. Which do you watch 9 times out of 10? I already know the fucking answer.
It's 10 times out of 10. I'm really never watching the original Friday the 13th because it's an alright film, but I'm so probably never in the mood to watch Friday the 13th, the original. If anything, it's just, you know, like, that's probably the noise. Those are the noise I'm making before I put it on. I've never once been like, let's watch the original Friday the 13th. The wife has never been like, let's watch the original Friday the 13th. It's just not ever like, it's not the motif we're looking for. Like, it's a fine film. It's okay when we're watching it, but I'm never like, yeah, let's watch Friday the 13th. I've always been in that boat of, nah, I hardly never get to it.
See, like, I think, you know, 100% I believe that Halloween is a better movie. It is a superior film. It's probably 50-50 for me. Like, if I had to pick between Halloween or the original Friday the 13th, I do get to the original Friday the 13th a lot more often than you.
Anybody's doing that, though.
Yeah, because you don't watch it, but
it's suspense versus body count.
Yeah, exactly. So it all depends on that morning. You know what I mean? Like, am I having bran flakes or am I having fucking tricks? Like, what am I doing? How am I starting my day?
Shall I shit now later?
am I an adult or am I feeling very kid-like? If I'm feeling kid-like, I want splatter and a bunch of nudity. If I'm feeling very, like, grown up and like I want to appreciate the filmmaking aspect, it's a Halloween day. So
and that I think is the core virus root of the gatekeeping toxic fan base for Halloween is it's a very on your pedestal, this is high quality filmmaking.
Yeah.
And it is, but when that's your jumping off point for looking down on everything else, and this is better than anything else you're going to show me. Get out of here, rookie.
Yeah, the fan base is so, like, relentlessly toxic that, like, you can't have an opinion. And we'll probably get shit on super hard over the next 24 weeks or however long we're doing this.
Good. Controversy creates cash. Give me your money.
Give it.
Talk shit. Get bit.
Yeah. you know, it's strange the amount of bullshit one has to weed through when it comes to this franchise. The amount of assholes and any opinion you have. Like you said, your wife likes Halloween 3. God forbid you say you like Halloween. It's like going to a biker bar. You know what I mean? Like, God forbid you say you like something
like Halloween 3 around the wrong crowd. Because then it's like, they will never shut up.
You can't like anything. And Halloween 3 mm-hmm. is one of the weird movies that went from, it's gone up all around the spectrum. Like, some movies in this franchise have gone one direction and they stayed that direction.
Yeah, like Halloween 5.
Halloween 5, Halloween Resurrection. Some of those have went south and stayed that way. Halloween 3 came out, was in the shits. Some folks started liking it. Then it became the underground cool movie to like. And then because mm-hmm. it got to that status, then it became, well, fuck it again.
Yeah. It's weird. It's a really weird, like, roller coaster of fandom. But again, just like you said, you're not allowed to like anything. It's so toxic. Halloween 2 and 6 are my absolute favorites. You know how many times I get, like, you like Halloween 6? Fuck you. Like, almost borderline death threats on YouTube where people are like, this is why you're not an authority in horror. And I'm like, I'm not an authority. I'm a guy who likes movies. Like,
who is an authority?
You're not an authority either, you fucking dildo.
What is an authority in horror? Is that something you got to get, like, a application for? Do you get a graduate's, like, certificate? What is an authority in horror? Do you have to be knighted by certain members of the film world? Like, if we got knighted by George P. Wilbur and John Carpenter, would we then be qualified as official authorities of horror?
Yeah, to say, hey, we like this, or hey, we don't like this.
Why don't we just go full on with it? We're already going where we're going to piss a lot of people off with how I'm going to just butcher shit for this film. Why don't we just rebrand it? It's no longer the Deep Cut Podcast. It is the Authorities of Horror Podcast.
That's
we
us.
Know better than you, and we know it.
Yeah, and we'll tell you.
You're wrong, we're right, and get ready to listen to 60 Minutes Why.
Well, now that we've ranted, rambled, irritated every Halloween fan, we've done our Amazon one-star reviews and our Brown Panty Award, what does that mean, Evil?
It's no more time for shenanigans. Time to play the game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
It's all about the game and how you play it. So who cares? I forget my chemistry book, my math book, English book, and let's see my French book and all. Well, who needs books anyway? I don't need books. I forget all my books. I mean, it doesn't really matter if you have books or not. Hey, isn't that Devon Graham?
Fuck Devon Graham.
I don't know who Devon Graham is, but he never shows up in this movie. And man,
yeah,
is he
not once.
So much credit for a guy that never has been seen on camera. Ben Tramer should get more recognition in part two. We never technically see him either, other than his dental records.
Yeah, we love us some Ben Tramer.
And his return in Halloween 4.
It is time to play the game. And if you're new here, welcome. And you're probably asking yourself, what is the game? Well, the game is a deep cut in and of itself where you have to pick a prop from the film that we are covering, but it cannot be a well-known prop. So since we are covering the Halloween franchise, you cannot say the mask, you cannot say the butcher knife, you cannot say the bib overalls, the overalls, whatever the fuck they're called, because those are just surface scratches. So pick a deep cut. As Evil likes to say, you go deep.
Or go dig a hole in your own butt.
Wowza, wowza. Dig a hole in your own stupid fruity batootie.
Man, this first movie may be the one movie where I feel like everything is an obvious prop. Does a deep cut prop exist anymore?
I've got one.
I'm super curious because all kinds of shit I was thinking of, I was like, gosh, I don't think that qualifies anymore.
because it has reached such level of pop culture status or whatever you want to say that, yeah, I get what you're saying. But I'll go first, then give you an idea where my brain was at.
Okay.
So my deep cut prop that I want from Halloween is something you're not even supposed to see or know is there. So my prop is the wrench that's taped to the Michael Myers actor's hand when he smashes the window at the beginning of the film.
I totally thought of that. That was one of, like, several that I was thinking of. And
we can cut it in half. You can have the other half if you want.
No. I tried to go other routes because I was like, fuck, is even the wrench considered deep cut enough anymore, because even like hidden secrets and shit that you're not supposed to, like fucking Linda tripping over the dolly track, like,
yeah,
there's, this may be the most undeep cuttable movie in horror history, man. Everybody knows everything about this shit.
Yeah, absolutely, including the Spock mask. So
yeah, including that fucking Star Wars mask. Yeah, well, I really had a hard time picking something with this, but I wanted something that would defy what would become part of the, as one of your favorite words, trope of this, and particularly Friday the 13th films, is the moral code of you can't have sex, you die. You can't be irresponsible, you die. You can't drink, you die. You do drugs, you die.
You die.
Now,
you score, you die. Or we score, you die.
After we score, you die. You came and went at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So at least it eventually happens, but not in this film. But this is the exception to the rule. And I totally put this all on John Carpenter because it fits his personality. But give me the shared joint between Jamie Lee Curtis and Annie.
Nice.
Because we're gonna get Jamie Lee Curtis fucking high, talking to a cop, and she lives, proving weed isn't really that bad.
In the 70s, it was. Now you can go and just buy it, like,
depending where you
everywhere.
Are.
Yeah.
Some crazy bastards out there still consider it the devil's lettuce.
I know you haven't watched many episodes of The Boys, but to quote my boy Jensen Ackles from the new episode of The Boys, he's like, still can't believe this shit's legal. Used to lock up tons of scumbags for it.
A lot of people still are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I want the one bit of trivia bit that's like, hey, here's a Scream Queen that did narcotics and live to tell about it.
That's true.
And it's so fucking impossible to think of anything. I couldn't think of anything where I was like, I settled on it. I was like, there. Because everything is, everybody knows everything.
Oh, Annie, I think he could smell it. I'm sure he could smell it.
Quit coughing. What's the matter with you?
Which, again, not a good cop if he didn't smell that weed. I mean, real bad.
Do we have any professionals in this movie that are doing well? We don't know what the hell even happened at the beginning of the movie. We have all the patients wandering the grounds in the middle of a rainstorm. We're assuming.
It's,
you and I are assuming.
Ambiguous.
We're assuming some shit went down.
Yeah, yeah. Which they, you know, they do a better job in subsequent entries in the franchise, you know, showing an escape. Or something of
something,
that nature.
But no,
a transfer.
We have no explanation. Every parent and authority figure are fucking idiots in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't realize they're idiots until you're really looking deeper at them. Like, yeah, this doctor is a complete whack job nutcase. person who shouldn't be a doctor. And yeah, he convinces this cop to be like, sure, I'll go along with what you're saying. Which is nice to have the one time a cop's like, yeah, he's warning me of evil coming this way. I'm going to believe it. But again, put that in real world perspective. That imagine a doctor from your town going up to the head of police in your town saying, evil is in this town and we must stop it. And the
like,
cop
sir,
going,
the church is right down there. You can go to the church.
And the cop going, you're right, sir. I'm going to deploy units all over town. What do you want me to do next?
Yeah. Only in the 70s, folks.
Only in the fictional world of Haddonfield, Illinois.
Absolutely. So, let us know your deep cut prop via Spotify comments, via YouTube comments, via Patreon comments, any which way you can get a hold of us.
Mail a
letter.
Including
our Discord. Yeah, mail us a letter.
We have a P.O. box. No one's put anything in it in, like, a year, but we still have one. Dust that shit off. Send us something in the mail. Send us your Halloween memorabilia props that you no longer want to own because the toxic fan base has just put a sour taste in your mouth, and we'll display it.
Yeah, we'll take them. But on that note,
I suppose.
I don't give a fuck.
I suppose we should probably get going, because after all, there's a lot of movies out there, and somebody's got to watch them. So why not us, right?
Well, kiddo, I thought you outgrew superstition.